money. Okay, and here we come to the end of our program. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, including Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, Freddy Irigoyen from Uruguay, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, David Favre from Switzerland, MD Jahangir Alam from Bangladesh, and Ralph Ladouche from Germany. Please keep in touch with us, with IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll try to have a look at the commentary of Chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to 173rd up to 175th verses of chapter Shu'ara.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ.
And we rained upon them a rain of stones, and evil was the rain of those who were warned.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُم مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ.
And indeed, your Lord, He is the exalted in might, the merciful.
وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. We rained down on them a shower, and evil is the rain of them that were warned. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily in this there is a sign, but most of them do not believe. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And verily your Lord, certainly He is the Mighty, the Merciful. As you were with us, dear listeners, we were discussing the story of Prophet Lut and his people. He tried to criticize them of their wrong, indecent action of sodomy, but they did not stop. They threatened him. They said, "If you do not stop your words, we will expel you, and you shall surely be of the ones who are expelled." لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ. In response, he tried to save his society, but he couldn't, Prophet Lut. So he asked the Almighty Allah to save him and his family. رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي. And the Almighty Allah did so, إِلَّا عَجُوزًا فِي الْغَابِرِينَ, who was his wife. His wife had deviated thoughts like the people of Lut, so she was, as the Holy Quran says, she was not delivered. ثُمَّ دَمَّرْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. Then we destroyed the others. But how were they destroyed? This 173rd verse explains, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. We rained down on them a shower, and evil is the rain of them that were warned. This shower was a shower of brimstone. Yes, the whole nature is at the service of the divine power, the same might which causes to send down the rain from sky can send down a shower of brimstone. So Allah says, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَطَرًا فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. The rain was a rain of pebbles, which wiped out even the ruins of their buildings. And the verse continues saying, فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. Evil is the rain of them that were warned. What a horrible rain it was. The rain overtook those threatened people. This is the power of the Almighty Allah. This is the divine power. The nature is at the service of this power. This is the very power that can send down blessings and mercies from the sky. But for these munzareen, for these people who are warned previously, the argument of Allah for these people is completed and they do not listen. فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنذَرِينَ. This matar, this is rain, but this is so different. This is a shower of brimstone.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran. By Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
There are other verses of the Holy Quran that indicate that at first the cities of people of Lut were destroyed, then a shower of pebbles, layer on layer, came down on them. As we mentioned, in the story of Prophet Lut, this rain of stone was perhaps for this aim that their effects would be wiped out too, and only a heap of stone and dust could be seen from those populated cities. This is the result of this wrong action. Even the remainings should be destroyed. Even the surface should be wiped out from these mischievous people. So, were these stones taken from deserts as the result of a great storm and they were poured over them? Or were they some wandering aerolites which, by the command of Allah, fell on them? Or, as some say, was there a silent volcano near around there which, by the command of Allah, roared and sent a rain of stones over them? It is not known, but what we know is that there were stones involved. It is certain that this fatal shower left no sign of life in that land. فَسَاءَ مَطَرُ الْمُنْذَرِينَ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
رَحْمَنٌ رَحِيمٌ مَنَّانٌ كَرِيمٌ سَلَامٌ عَلِيمٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ غَفَّارٌ جَمِيلٌ وَهَّابٌ لَطِيفٌ تَوَّابٌ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio. with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we are going to be looking at a very interesting topic, and that topic is the status of Imam Zainul Abidin. Here on The Key and at IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our congratulations to our esteemed listeners on this most auspicious occasion, which is the birthday of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. So the question we would like to address today is what the virtues are of Imam Sajjad. What are the virtues of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam? Many virtues have been narrated and related regarding him. For example, we have one hadith from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which the Prophet said, "On the day of judgment, a caller will call, 'Where is the adornment of the worshippers?' And it is as if I am looking at my son Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib emerging from between the rows." So this is actually one of the virtues of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. This is interesting because, you know, a lot of times it's popular in popular culture amongst the Shias. It's kind of been assumed that this is a title that was given to him, or was first mentioned by Satan. There's a famous story that Imam Sajjad was, you know, reciting the prayers and Satan came in the form of a serpent and bit him on the leg, you know, and then the Imam continued his prayers. And then Satan left saying, "Surely you are the adornment of the worshippers." But here, if we pay attention to this hadith, it becomes evident that this is a title that was actually given to him by the Prophet, or the Prophet referenced it and mentioned it even before that event happened. Another virtue which has been mentioned, so the Imam's worship and being the adornment of worshippers, this is one of his virtues. Another one of his virtues is his charity. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said, "Verily he used to provide for 100 households from amongst the poor of Medina. He liked for the orphans, the needy, the disabled, the poor, and the destitute to be present at his food spread. He served them with his own hands. If anyone among them had a family, he used to take the food to their household. He never ate any food but that he first gave charity from it." Right? This is another one of his great virtues, his care for the needy, the orphans, and also, the disabled. This is another one of his virtues. In another beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq has been reported to have said, "My father used to say," my father meaning Imam Baqir alayhi salam, "he used to say, Ali ibn al-Husayn, when he stood up to pray, was like a tree trunk with no part of him moving except whatever the wind caused to move." Right? He was so still and motionless in his prayers in the face of the grandeur and awesomeness of Allah that he would remain still in his prayer. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the virtues of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in the words of the infallibles. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Imam Sajjad and the Power of Prayers. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to the program. Today is the fifth of the blessed month of Sha'ban, the third successive day of joyousness. Yesterday and the day before, we celebrated the blessed birth anniversaries, respectively, of the valiant standard bearer of Karbala, Hazrat Abbas, peace upon him, and the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. While today, on the 5th of Sha'ban, we are basking the blessings of the birthday of the survivor of the heartrending tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, also known as Sajjad, for his sincere acts of worship. Please stay with us for a special feature on the life and times of the great grandson of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, the ark faring through deep oceans. Those who embark it obtain safety, and those who forsake it are drowned. Those who try to get ahead of them leave the bounds of faith, and those who lag behind them perish, and those who attach themselves to them join their fold. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, the secure sanctuary, the aid of the distressed and the oppressed, the shelter of the refugees, and the asylum of those seeking haven. This is the month of your prophet, the chief of your prophets, Sha'ban, which you have enveloped in your mercy and your approval. The month wherein it was the practice of the Prophet of Allah. May Allah bless him and his progeny to observe until his death its fast and to perform devotions during its nights and days, in order to do it honor and reverence out of humility before you. O Allah, so help us in following his example with regard to it, and to make us deserving of his intercession in your court. What we recited to you were passages of the special supplication the faithful recite daily in the blessed month of Sha'ban. The wordings provide a glimpse of some of the innumerable merits of the Messenger of Mercy and his infallible progeny, the Ahlul Bayt, who are likened to the Ark of Prophet Noah. It means whoever boards this ark has attained salvation, and whoever lags behind is drowned. The difference is that Noah's ark was for a specific time and a limited period of history for saving monotheists of that particular era from the great deluge, while the Prophet of Islam and his Ahlul Bayt represent the eternal and universal ark of salvation, so that the seekers of truth are saved from drowning in the sea of ignorance and the oceans of unbelief in every age, generation, and geopolitical place. In other words, this immortal ark is made up of 14 flawless helmsmen, who are none other than the Prophet of Islam, his immaculate daughter Fatima Zahra, her husband, and the impeccable Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, their two infallible sons, the leaders of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and the 9 spotless Imams of the lineage of Imam Hussein, peace upon them all. These peerless personalities steer humanity on the straight and unwavering path towards Allah the Exalted and His promise of the everlasting bliss of paradise for the believers. This unique supplication was taught to us by one of these 14 helmsmen of the Ark of Salvation. He was the Prophet's great-grandson, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, who was born in Medina on the 5th of Sha'ban in the year 38 AH, corresponding to 659 AD. His father, the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, named him Ali in honor of his own father, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. The mother of the fourth Imam was the virtuous Iranian lady, Shahrbanu, the princess of Iran. He was thus known as Ibnul Khiyaratain, or the son of two best persons, that is, the Hashemites among the Arabs and the Persians among the non-Arabs. Having lost his mother in childhood, he was brought up by his paternal aunt, the heroine of Karbala, Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her. As a 23-year-old youth, he was present in Karbala on the tragic 10th of Muharram, the fateful day of Ashura, but could not take part in the jihad because of being bedridden because of sickness. During the equally tragic aftermath of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, along with the noble ladies and children of the Prophet's household, including his own 4-year-old son, the future Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, was taken in chains and fetters to the courts of the tyrants in Kufa and Damascus. In Syria, in the court of the godless Yazid, despite suffering the traumas of torture during the long journey from southern Iraq, he made the mission of his martyred father triumph in the enemy capital. His sermons shook the foundations of the Umayyad Caliphate and made Yazid release the noble captives. Here, we relate an incident that is indicative of the magnanimity of the fourth infallible heir of the Prophet. When Yazid, feigning regret at the tragedy of Karbala, asked whether God would forgive his misdeed in murdering the Prophet's grandson, the bereaved Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, as the divinely designated refuge of all those seeking asylum, even if it be an avowed enemy, replied, "Perform the Salatul Qufayla between the daily Maghrib and Isha obligatory ritual prayers. Perhaps the All-Merciful may have mercy upon you." The libertine and agnostic Yazid, however, was not destined to mend his evil ways and died in the state of sins, tyranny, and disbelief. Glory to the Lord Most High for placing his trust in secure places. The all-wise creator knew that just as Iblis, the demon Satan, had deprived himself of divine mercy by refusing to prostrate to the father of the human race, Adam, without the least regret, the agnostic and libertine Yazid, who was miserably trapped in Lucifer's snare to the extent of dismissing the concept of the Almighty Creator, the mission of prophets, and the revelation of heavenly scriptures, would never have the time from his debaucheries to ever think of prayer or supplication. For the next 34 years, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, carried his novel jihad of grooming the seekers of truth through the medium of prayers and supplications, which survive till this day as eternal bezels of wisdom for the guidance of humanity. He faced a string of tyrants, including the torturous decade-long rule in Hejaz of the crafty criminal Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who had laid claim to the caliphate and subjected the prophet's Hashemite clan to acute oppression, including a failed plot to burn all male members alive. But never for a moment did the imam spare any effort to guide Muslims. Among the immortal legacies of the fourth imam is the Risalatul Huquq, or the Treatise of Rights, that is more perfect than the United Nations Charter of Human Rights, and the Sahifatul Sajjadiyya, which is a manual of supplications to God in highly eloquent words that contain every topic under the sun, including scientific issues and the weight of light, something which modern science is still beginning to discover. When we study the supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, we find that he used them as means to educate others about the oneness of Allah, the angels, and all Islamic concepts in the various fields of life, including science. It is a pity that these supplications have not been studied thoroughly even among the followers of Ahlul Bayt, or in the academic institutions that study the spiritual side of Islam. We hope that groundbreaking research will take place in this regard, especially in the seminaries and universities. Here we present to you some interesting glimpses from the Risalatul Huquq. The greatest right upon you is from Allah Himself, and this is the root of all other rights. The greatest right of Allah upon you is to worship Him without associating anything with Him. If you do that with purity of heart, He promises to give you sufficiently what you need here and in the next world. The rights of your teacher upon you are: you should look at Him with honor, listen to Him with full attention, sit facing Him with respect, and do not raise your voice in His presence. If someone asks Him a question, you should not reply it, but let the teacher do it. You should overlook His shortcomings and speak of His good qualities. Keep away from His enemies, and do not make enemies of His friends. If you do all these, angels will be your witness that you did what you were required to do and that you obtained knowledge from Him for the pleasure of Allah only. The rights of your mother are: she carried you where no one carries anyone else. She fed you the fruit of your heart, which no one gives to anyone else. She protected you with all parts of her body. She did not care if she remained hungry as long as you were fed, if she was thirsty as long as you drank, if she had no proper clothes as long you had clothes on, if she was in the sun so long as you were in shade. She lost her sleep for you. She protected you from cold and heat so that you should live. You will never be able to thank her unless if Allah helps you. The right of your neighbor is that you should guard him in his absence, show respect to him in his presence, and help him when he is wronged. Do not do any shameful act to him. If you know of any improper things about him, keep that secret. If you know he will accept your advice, then give it to him. Do not leave him alone when he is in trouble. Help him out of his troubles. Forgive him if he has wronged you and treat him generously.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Now we'll listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Osama Al-Attar.
Tonight we are celebrating the birth of another hero of Karbala, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen and the noble lady Ummu al-Baneen, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'een. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He was born in the year 26 after Hijrah, on the 4th of Sha'ban, which means he was approximately 34 and few months old in Karbala, which happened on the 10th of Muharram in the year 61 after Hijrah. So he was in the peak of his strength. And if we think about it in our terms, he still had many more years to live. And sometimes people, when they are in their 20s, 30s, when they're quite healthy and strong, they don't think about death, long, you know, being old, all those difficulties that come across the individual. So they are still thinking about maybe building their future. In our days, these days, people are still building their careers sometimes, and so on and so forth. So people still think that they still have the world ahead of them. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, at that age, at that time, because of his understanding, he was ready to sacrifice his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defending his imam, al-imam al-Husayn, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Even though he had the opportunity to live on the day of Ashura, Shimr ibn Dhiljawshan came. Shimr comes from the same tribe as Ummul Baneen, salamullahi alayha, the mother of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, alayhi salam. So he came and said, "Where are the sons of our sister?" Sister, not physically sister, biological sister, from the same tribe. The sons of our sister, Al-Abbas and his siblings. Al-Abbas alayhi salam did not answer him. Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi said, "Answer him, even if he is a fasiq, walau kana fasiqa." Fasiq is someone, wal'iyadu billah, who does not practice religion. Answer him. Answer. So he came. What do you want? He said, why kill yourself with Abi Abdullah al-Husayn? Come with us and I give you my word that no harm will reach you. Just leave Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and no harm will reach you. I give you my word. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam responded back. Again, a 34-year-old now has been given the opportunity to live. And as I mentioned, sometimes when we are in our 20s, 30s, we think of the world ahead of us. And he had this opportunity. Immediately, he responded back. He said, "Thakalatka ummuk." Yani, may you die and your mother weep over your dead body. You are giving me safety and security, and the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi is not given any safety and security. He turns his back and he tells his brothers, let's go. They all turn away and join Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, remain with him until they all leave this dunya salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'i. That's why we read in the ziyara of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas salamullahi alayhi, ashhadu, I bear witness. And the ziyara is taught to us by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So Imam al-Sadiq is teaching us. Ashhadu annaka madayta ala basiratin min amrik. You fought, you went with full understanding of the matter. Full comprehension. And in the hadith of Imam al-Sajjad salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi that I started with the discussion, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, surely, inna li'ammi al-Abbas, surely, my uncle al-Abbas has a status on the day of judgment that all the martyrs and siddiqeen, the truthful ones, will be envious of his status. إِنَّ لِعَمِّيَ الْعَبَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ دَرَجَةٌ يَغْبِطُهُ عَلَيْهَا جَمِيعُ الشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We read in the Quran, يُوسُفُ أَيُّهَا الصِّدِّيقِ. Prophet Yusuf, نبينا وآله وعليه السلام, is referred to as صديق, the one who is extremely truthful. So Yusuf, according to this hadith, ala nabina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, would be envious of the status of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam on the day of judgment. How did Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas salamullahi alayhi achieve this high status? It is because of his unconditional love, devotion, obedience, and submission to Abi Abdullah al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi, the imam of his time, which stems from his recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his messenger and the imam of the time. Through this, he achieved the status. Unconditional love, devotion, obedience and submission to the imam of his time, al-imam al-Husayn, salamullahi alayhi. Where did that love come from? Where did that obedience come from? Where did that submission and devotion come from? Because of his recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger and the imam of his time. He recognized. And therefore, he obeyed and he followed and he loved, not blindly. As the ziyara says, I bear witness, you had full understanding of what you were doing. He put his master and his imam before himself. Which teaches us a lesson, brothers and sisters. That's what we need to do in our lives. Put Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam before our own self. Yani, meaning, If I like to do something in a particular way, I like to dress in a particular way. This is how I like to dress because this is the fashion today. If this fashion is in line with the teachings of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, I'll wear it. If not, خلص, I will not wear it. Some people like to listen to haram music. They enjoy it. If this is haram, خلص, Allah told me it's haram. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam told me it's haram. I will not do it. Because I love them, I obey them. It is natural for every human being who's thirsty to want to drink water. It's natural. It's an instinct in every human being. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayh, arrived at the river. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, the heart of my uncle al-Abbas was burning like charcoal from thirst. He's extremely thirsty. So it is natural for any human being who's in such state of thirst, when his heart is burning like charcoal, to want to drink from the water. Especially when he touched it. He touched the water. But did he drink from it? No, he did not. Why not? His self, his desire is to drink. Human being. Natural instinct. He's thirsty. But he did not follow his desire. He put his imam ahead of him, in front of him. And he said these famous verses of poetry, يَا نَفْسُ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْحُسَيْنِ هُونِي فَبَعْدَهُ لَا كُنْتِي أَوْ تَكُونِي. O myself, after Hussein, you should not be following your own self. You should not even exist after al-imam al-Hussein. يعني everything has to be in line with your imam, whatever the imam wants. هذا حسين وارد المنون. Hussein is about to get killed and you drink this cold water? He says, why Allah? This is his own verses of poetry. Wallah, ما هذا فعال ديني. This is not the actions of my religion, the teachings of my religion. It has not taught me to get full with water while my imam is thirsty. He deserves to drink first. ولا فعال صادق اليقين. Okay. So you see the status of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas salam Allah alayh. He achieved this status because of his submission, his love, devotion, obedience to the Imam salam Allah alayh, especially al-Imam al-Hussein salam Allah alayh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program of Viewpoint, and I'm Beta, the host of today's episode. And we have two dear speaker guests here with me, Brother Ali and Brother Muhammad. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, in this episode of today, we're going to discuss one of the most controversial issues of Islamic world about Palestinian issue. So, as you know, Palestine is one of the most valuable lands and regions in Islam thoughts and also other religions. So, in this episode, based on the leadership statements, we're going to discuss this issue.
She's standing on the rubble of her home. She cries out for her parents.
Since the Nakba in 1948, the Palestinians have been in a vicious cycle of exile, expulsion, relocation.
This training gives us the skills and expertise to help us pursue a successful career in the future and helps us in the day-to-day life.
The youth are the same, but the circumstances around them have changed. The harsh realities faced by the youth nowadays makes life harder for them compared to previous generations. With the current limitation, the youth have a hard time achieving their aspirations and dreams.
To a lot of Palestinians, this is more unrealistic. It's more unrealistic because 7 million Palestinians will not simply give up their human rights to return back to their land. So for them, this is the solution. And Israel has, the six decades we've had, Israel has tried everything except what they think is the right solution, the right for the Palestinians, which is a solution based on international law, based on recognizing basic human rights, allowing Palestinians to return to their homes. This is the solution which Israel has not tested, which the international community has not tried, even though this is a solution which is enshrined under various agreements, various human rights treaties throughout the world. So for Palestinians, this is the only way that the real solution in Palestine will come about.
First of all, let's start with the history of this land and also the importance of this issue in Islamic world. Brother Ali, let's start with you.
Yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. The issue of Palestine is one of the key issues and one of the most important issues in the Islam world. And as the leader himself said, that it's one of the most urgent issues in the world of Islam.
Yeah.
And for everyone, it has to be clear that why it is the first and foremost issue and one of the most important issues in the Islam world. So if we are going to dissect the issue, we need to have a look at the history of formation of this forged and fake country. We believe that there was no country under the name of Israel, and still we do not recognize such a country because it was a land that was usurped by some. So some of the European countries and some of, let's say, Western countries, let's say, have tried to appoint a piece of land in the world which is one of the most strategic centers in the world as a center for the gathering, or let's say, for settlement of the Jews. So they selected this important part of the world, which is exactly and which was exactly inside the heart of the Islamic Ummah. You might be asking, why is this that important, and why is it one of the key issues of the Islam world? Why is it one of the basic and, let's say, principal issues of the Islamic Ummah? It has some factors that can be actually included as answers to this question.
Yeah.
First is that Palestine itself is a Muslim country, and it was usurped by another group of, let's say, people, a group of nations, let's say, and with the access of UK. So they tried to appoint a part of the world and actually make a theory about it and to call it, let's say, the land of promised land, and make a, let's say, ideological background for this, and it's starting to transfer the Jews from different countries to this country. Second, it was one of the important Islamic centers because it was the first Qibla of the Muslims. So it is important for us because it is related to our Islamic beliefs. The Masjid al-Aqsa, which is one of the first Qibla of the Muslims, is located there. And except Masjid al-Aqsa, there are too many other masjids in this city, almost 30, 35 masjids, which were among the important masjids at that time, at the dawn of Islam. So it is, again, one of the Islamic centers that has been usurped. The third point that I can refer to is that there is a danger of improvement and progress of a fake country in the center and in the heart of the Islamic land. All of us are familiar with the Islamic territories before that issue and the kind of way that they tried to target the Ottoman Empire and how to paralyze it and the way that they paralyzed it. So that plant, let's say, seed which was not really in the right place to be planted. So we are witnessing, all of us, that all the Western powers are trying to support and back this center, this fake country, with mostly ideological purposes, and secondly with a sort of, let's say, humiliating the Islamic Ummah.
Yeah.
So it is important for us to focus and to back and defend the Palestinians as Muslims. And one important point, which is, I think, necessary to be mentioned, is that we as Muslims have duties based on Islamic teachings. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it on our shoulder, that if we are hearing the voice of oppression of a Muslim, it's our duty to support him, to back him.
Yeah.
So I think this goes at the first factor that can be added to the others.
Thank you for your elaboration. So as we got to know, to hear, we understood that, this Palestinian issue is one of the most important things, and you elaborated some factors of this importance. But at the next level, if we refer to some of the leaders' statements, we got to know that it is too urgent to actually deal with and cope with this problem. I want you, Brother Muhammad, to tell me why is it a priority for us? I mean, there are other important things. There are another wars, like, I don't know, in the history of human beings, like World War II, that we had a lot of sacrifices in that war too. But why we are putting emphasis on this special issue, and we call it as something really urgent?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Referring back to the speeches of the lead of the Islamic leader Ayatollah Khamenei, he mentions a very important keyword in his statement about Palestine and Israel. He says that how Israel is a cancer, not only cancer in the Muslim world, but cancer in the entire region. If you see all the major conflicts that we're facing, to the most recent Daesh conflict that we had in Syria, even the Arab Spring, the uprising that we had recently, it was let down because of Israel itself. So, of course, considering how cancerous Israel and its political agenda is and how their ideology is based upon, it's important we combat this cancer before it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at the maps of the occupied lands before the occupation and until now, you will see year by year the lands of the Palestinian, the oppressed people, the houses are being bulldozed. The lands are slowly being usurped to the point that a small percentage of that land that they originally owned is now in their own hands. And majority of the land is now being occupied by this cancer. So if we do not attempt to combat this big cancer in the region, it's going to be too late in the future. And like our brother Ali mentioned,